Live from the Colorado Media School campus in Lakewood, Colorado, the premier radio show on GoMileHigh.com, this is The Press Box.
It's almost sad sitting here in the press box today after last night's events there at Ball Arena. But nonetheless, we are back here on the press box here at GoMileHigh.com. I am your host today, Ian. Once again, glad to be back with everybody. And for the first time, I believe, we have a newcomer to the press box. So everybody introduce yourselves to Andy. Andy, go ahead, introduce yourself to everybody else.
How's it going, Denver? This is Andy here, Colorado native, and ready to talk all Colorado sports.
Awesome, awesome. And then we have Miss Sandy here kind of watching over our shoulders today. We were supposed to have Josh Dover on as well, but I do believe he's running a little bit behind. So we'll be joining up with him here in a little while. But obviously, like I had mentioned earlier, a little bit of a sad scene there at Ball Arena last night, suffering only their fifth home loss on the season, putting them at 30-5 for a home record. But not only that, this puts them in their last 25 games at home, 24-1. And the one comes as a 21-point loss to the Chicago Bulls, with LaVine going off for 29 on 66% shooting, and Nikola Vucevic going off as well. He had 25-15. Andy, I know that you were paying attention to the game too. What good was there to take out of this game, if anything, for the Nuggets?
You know, Ian, the only good thing that I could say is Joker had a terrible game with 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. A double-double, and that was a terrible game.
Yeah, 2 assists away from a triple-double, and we're calling it terrible. That's heartbreaking for the rest of the NBA. If we're saying that, our 2-time MVP, soon to be 3-time, didn't get a triple-double, and we're calling that a failure. But, I mean, I can't really put it all on him, because obviously part of it would be on him. He shot 5 of 14, which is only the second game in the last 51 games for the Nuggets where Jokic did not shoot at least 50%. But it wasn't all just on him, because if we're looking at all the stats from last night, I don't know what happened at halftime. I don't know what Malone said to them, but whatever it was, it did not work at all, because the Bulls went on to outscore the Nuggets 66-44 in the second half. And at one point, they actually got to run away with, I want to say, a 19-3 run in the middle of the third quarter. And I don't know what it was afterwards, but we just could not get it back against a team that's really struggling just to even get back in the game.
It was actually one of the crucial stats that I was looking at was points in the paint. Chicago had 66 points to Denver's 38. When Bryant was in the game, they were just eating him up. Mm-hmm. And another is the fast points. Chicago had 19 and Denver had a total of 5. And the key for the Nuggets to win at home is to use that altitude and run all day.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're built to run. Obviously, we know our team. We know what they like and what they don't like. But I'm also going to give credit to the Chicago Bulls and Billy Donovan for making that second half adjustment, because it seemed like whenever Jokic got within maybe like 7 feet of the rim, it was always double covered and it was a lot of constant pressure. So maybe that may be our one team's weakness, and I'm really hoping that Chicago really didn't expose what we all kind of knew all along.
Absolutely. And I was also taking a look at the plus minus, and there was no one in the plus category, and our three worst players were Jeff Green at a negative 17, Bruce Brown at a negative 24, and Reggie Jackson at a negative 16. And lately, when Jeff Green goes, as do the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. So you might be able to point a little bit of that with Jeff Green. And Jeff was allowed to have an off day once in a while.
Yep.
And also, I think the Nuggets were taking a look past Chicago and looking at San Antonio. Mm-hmm. So this could have been a trap game in – no games in the NBA are going to be an easy win.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And I agree with that sentiment that it was a trap game, because very early on, for some reason, it just felt wrong walking into the stadium knowing that we had won 10 of the last 12 straight up against the Bulls. So we had owned them. But after coming off of what really was a grit and grind win against the Raptors a couple nights before, it just felt like maybe that we were due to get punched in the mouth like this. But this was also our worst home loss of the season, because the four home losses before this game were all by 8 points exactly. And now to get punched in the mouth by 21, it hurts. That's the easiest way to put it, is that this hurts.
Oh, absolutely. And I know Coach Malone is just going to have them make it right against San Antonio. I would not want to be San Antonio Spurs coming up on Friday. It's going to be a get-right game, and I expect them to be winning at least by 25.
Yeah, I mean, anything else would almost feel like a failure at this point, especially when we're the number one team in the West. Still, luckily, have a seven-game cushion, obviously, with the Kings and the Grizzlies also going tonight. So if they both lose, we'll be up to an eight-game buffer. And then I also believe, depending on one other game, I'm not sure which game it is, our magic number to clinch a playoff spot officially will be down to two. So there is that plus there. But kind of looking ahead to that Spurs game, I mean, obviously we all know that the Spurs are definitely down on their luck, if that's even the right way to say what they are down on. I feel bad because Coach Popovich deserves so much better than what we've been able to see. But just kind of looking ahead right now, I mean, San Antonio, I mean, their bench, they may not even have everybody at full strength, because looking at their injury report, Langford's going to be a game-time decision. Doug McDermott's going to be a game-time decision. Their backup center's already been announced as being out for this game. So what exactly do the Nuggets need to do to get right here?
I think the Nuggets need to start the starting five, get them rolling for the first half. We'll get a nice good cushion, at least 20 points at the halftime. Mm-hmm. And then let's get our backups in. Because I think with the addition of Reggie Jackson, we still need to get a cohesive unit and get him vibing. He's showed glimpses of being a part of the guys, but he's not there yet. And I think we need to get Green, Brown, and Jackson all back on the plus side.
I agree with that 100%. I think it would also be really nice, you know, just to see Thomas Bryant just get back to what he was in L.A. and getting right there as well. But just having that second unit just crank it up a little bit more, I feel like this would be absolutely the game to do it. And then also just kind of looking ahead at what the playoff schedule is looking like as of right now, or at least the standings. I know a lot of people have been saying, you know, obviously, with Denver pretty much locked into the one seed, we'd end up having to play the loser of the play-in tournament, if that's even what we want to call this. But I've also been hearing a lot of pundits saying if there's one team to avoid that's in that bracket, it would really be the Los Angeles Lakers. But knowing what we know right now after last night's game, and obviously knowing how the Nuggets bounce back, is there really anybody in maybe that 7-13 mark that we truly might not want to face round one?
Looking at the 7-13, I see the Mavericks as being a dark horse. I don't see them finishing in the play-in tournament. Mm-hmm. I see them at least making it to the sixth seed. Let's hope that Doncic has a healthy Bill, which he does. Yep. They're only a half game back from six, so I think within the next week or two, we should get a better picture of the play-in standings.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also just knowing that Phoenix, I mean, they're sitting there at the four seed. They're nine games back. But knowing that KD is now out for the foreseeable future after his grade two sprain on what has to be an absolute freak accident in his home warm-up against the OKC Thunder, I mean, could we see the Suns potentially fall all the way down to the 7-8 seed?
I don't see that happening, Ian. I was really hoping that they would eclipse the Kings and Grizzlies for the number two seed. Mm-hmm. So we would see them in the Western Conference finals.
Sure.
But with the way things are looking right now, I think they have a lock on the four. I don't see the Warriors or Clippers gaining those three games at their back. Mm-hmm. So most likely they're going to stay the four, and if the Nuggets or when the Nuggets do advance, we mm-hmm. will see them in the second round.
Yeah, and honestly, I really don't see any team in the West that truly terrifies me as much as maybe in years past. It almost feels like we're the ones finally looking down on everybody. Maybe that's just me being a little bit too naive because we have a nice seven-game cushion, and then we have a game like we had last night. But, I mean, I'm just looking at all these other teams. Like, we could easily take it to New Orleans, no problem. We could take it to the Lakers, I'm sure. Dallas, I think, would probably be the scariest matchup. But, I mean, I'm not terrified of Minnesota, L.A., Golden State. They're slowly falling apart. I mean, it's really going to be those top four in Dallas, I think, would be our main issues if we were to run into any of them in the second round. But, again, with the West being so tight as it is from the second seed down, because really that's only a 5.5 game difference from being a number 2 seed to being a number 8 seed.
Yep.
So, I mean, at this point, it feels like we're very much in the clear. I really hope that we don't take our foot off the brakes. But coming up here in the second quarter, I know you were wanting to touch on something because we finally hit an anniversary here in Denver. So, I don't know, do you want to give us a sneak peek of that before we go to break real quick?
Absolutely. It was 1 year, one day ago, we traded our future for Russell Wilson.
Oh my. Well, let's take a year in review, look back here on the other side. We're going to go to commercial here. Stick around. We are the Press Box here on GoMileHigh.com.
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place. Because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more.
Awesome! Totally awesome!
And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
Hurry, young Papsy, we must make it back to Camelot so I can listen to GoMileHigh.com.
Oh, who goes there?
It is I, King Arthur, on his mighty steed. Let me in the castle at once. I must get to my quarters to listen in to the best in Colorado's sports lifestyle programming.
But, sir, don't we live in medieval Wales?
No, Papsy, you mustn't ask questions when I'm listening about my beloved Broncos. Ah, GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Trying to make plans for this weekend?
I can't wait to see what he brings me!
Don't know what to do to kill time?
Pretty sure you just answered your own question.
Tune in every Wednesday. From 3 until 4.
What you talking about?
Sports. Must-see events and many more. Only on GoMileHigh.com.
Go Mile High, your college radio for sports, movies, and games. Run by students, for students, and more.
Let's see what they can do here from the 5.
Sports news, live games, and discussions about just about everything.
Disney turning their rides in their parks into movies.
So close, so many times, and to have that snatched away.
Come and join us every day for your favorite shows, only at GoMileHigh.com.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have 3 on-campus radio stations, 2 TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at ColoradoMediaSchool.com on Facebook and Instagram and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7000.
Broadcasting from Belmar, Lakewood, Colorado, GoMileHigh.com.
Welcome back to the press box at GoMileHigh.com. I wanted to talk about one year, one day ago. I was popping champagne when we found out that Russell Wilson was traded to the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, no, I honestly, for the longest time, I genuinely thought that we were in on the A-Rod sweepstakes. I really thought that Aaron Rodgers was going to be coming here. And honestly, even still looking back, I'm glad that we got Russell Wilson instead. Just knowing all the, I guess if you want to call it the off-field shenanigans that A-Rod is 100% a part of. But yeah, no, I really thought that this was going to be the start of a trend as well. But as we have seen over the last 366 days, that has just not been the case.
Absolutely. And I hopefully Aaron Rodgers and the Denver Broncos are going to be the same. Both come from a darkness to the light. Mm. Last year, Russell Wilson played in 15 games, completed 60.5% of his passes, 3,524 yards, averaging 235 yards per game, 16 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. He was sacked 55 times with a QB rating of 84.4.
That, God. As a Broncos fan, I thought that I was over this and just looking back on it. But like you said, it's been a year now, and still even looking back on it, it almost feels unreal how bad our offense was. I mean, it's alarming to hear that our quarterback got sacked like 30 or 40 times this season, but to hear 55. And mind you, I understand he's not as mobile as he once was. Granted, he did show flashes, which was great, and I really hope that we get to see that with our new head coach, Sean Payton. I'm really hoping that that comes more out of the woodwork here. But the fact that he only had three or four more passing touchdowns than he had bathrooms in his brand new fancy estate here in the Denver metro area. I mean, Denver, we're so used to success, but also as a fan base, we are very, for lack of a better term, unwilling to wait for success because of the success that we had with John Elway. Because of the success that we had with Peyton, all the AFC championship runs we had, all the Super Bowl appearances that we had under Pat Bowlen, it almost feels almost like we might be somewhat entitled to having a good quarterback. And just having a star quarterback who has won multiple Pro Bowl spots, I mean, has obviously won a Super Bowl, you know, and he was doing great in Seattle. We thought that we had won this, but again, a year and a day later, I really don't know if we won this at all.
Oh, absolutely we didn't. Taking a look back, what we got was Wilson and a 22 fourth round draft pick. What we gave up was Drew Lock, Shelby Harris, Noah Fant, a first round in the 22 draft, a second round in the 22 draft, a fifth round overall in the 23 draft coming up, and a second round in the 23 draft. We did not win this at all. Seattle knew something that we didn't. We were fleeced, and hopefully with the hire of Sean Payton, we'll be able to right this ship next year.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And then also looking at those two draft picks, that first and that second, I mean, those turned out to be Kenneth Walker and Tariq Woolen. And if I'm not mistaken, both of them were very much in the running for offensive rookie of the year and defensive rookie of the year as well. Now, granted, Drew Lock, he just hasn't panned out for anybody. Noah Fant, I really hope that he turns it around. It seemed like he had a decent year. But Shelby Harris became the anchor of that Seattle defensive line. And to be fair, Seattle, they actually did a pretty dang good job. They ended up in the playoffs when everybody thought it was supposed to be us there. So, I mean, you're absolutely right that we lost it. But now that we're a year moved on, I mean, long term here, yes, they ended up getting two starters on rookie deals. But, I mean, beyond that, what else did they gain out of this that made them better? Because Geno Smith came out of the woodwork. It wasn't any of the players that we sent them. It was their draft picks that they got out of it. And that's what I think I'm really more upset about, is us giving up those draft picks.
Absolutely. I mean, the Broncos did not gain anything out of this. I think Russell got a little bit of humble pie. Hopefully he stays off of the Twitter machine and keeps his quarterback coach out and Sean Payton reins him in. Because to be honest, Sean Payton has a free pass in my book this next year. Mm. It's Russell Wilson that either needs to show up or we're going to take the hit and we're going to cut him and probably draft the USC quarterback coming up.
Caleb Williams, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But, I mean, you're absolutely right that Sean Payton, I believe no matter what happens, he's in the clear for this season. But you're right in that, you know, if Russ still does not step up, we should be able to break loose from this.
Oh, definitely. I believe Sean is going to get rid of basically the entire O-line. Mm-hmm. There's been no talks of re-signing Dalton Risner. A Wiggins guy, and I absolutely love him as a player and as a person. It'd be sad to see him go. But they just need to completely destroy the O-line and try and find some veterans that are not going to cost or break the bank and, you know, just try and patchwork it. And don't get me wrong, having a first-time head coach, and I believe Russell took advantage of Nathaniel. But I don't think Sean's going to let that fly, and it's going to be his way or the highway.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's already been known that Coach Payton has already come out and said whatever coaches he was bringing in from the outside, officially their keys no longer work here at our building. They will not be able to gain access. And honestly, that's how it should have been from the very beginning, because I feel like there was a whole miscommunication between Russ and his camp and what the Broncos and their camp were trying to do. And there's no way that anybody could have success if you have multiple voices in your head, you know, because you obviously have your coach telling you one thing, you have your team's coach telling you another. Because, I mean, at one point we were also hearing reports that Russell Wilson was giving out the Seattle audibles, not the Denver audibles that Hackett had put in, but his old stuff. And that could only come from his old quarterback coach who's been with him his entire career. So I think it's smart that, you know, he's basically been saying no outside coaches are ever going to be allowed. But I also think that Sean Payton has the respect of literally the entire NFL. And he's the one to truly rein in Russell Wilson, like you were saying. I wouldn't trust any other coach that was out on the market this coaching carousel. Payton was 100% the right way to go about this. Winning or losing season this year, he was definitely the 100% right decision.
You are correct. And I was taking a look at running back situation today, just seeing who we could plug in while Javonte Williams is getting right. We want him 100% when he hits that line.
Correct.
So I was looking at three running backs that I've heard whispers. We have David Montgomery from Chicago, Kareem Hunt from the Browns, and Devin Singletary from the Buffaloes, all free agents, and all would not cost a pretty penny to sign just for a stopgap until Williams is right. Montgomery had 800 yards for the season, 4 yards per carry with 5 touchdowns. Kareem Hunt had 468 yards with 3.8 per and 3 touchdowns, and actually – the Broncos hired the college running back coach for David Montgomery, who's Lou Ayiri. And Kareem Hunt was also recruited by Ayiri. So they have a tie there.
Yep.
But my front runner would be Devin Singletary.
Okay.
He has 145 career receptions, and we all know that Peyton likes to include the running backs in passes.
Yep.
And it would not cost – it'd be a million maybe – or a couple million for a multi-year deal to get him in. And it could be a nice 1-2 punch when Williams gets back.
Yeah, no. So Motor Singletary was definitely the feature back there in Buffalo. And we know that Buffalo, their one issue was the run game. And that was more so on the O-line as compared to Singletary. Because if you watched Buffalo games as the season went on, Singletary was running down 7-8 yard runs when the blockers actually did their job. So I would have to think, you know, if we're going to address our O-line, I think that he would be a nice addition. But I'd also like to see a little more muscle in the backfield. So that's why I'm kind of leaning towards Kareem Hunt. Yes, I understand that he had the off-field issues years ago. Some things you just don't forget about. But on-field, we've always done great when we've had a two running back tandem, and it's been a thunder and lightning situation. Because unfortunately nowadays, we're not seeing a lot of, you know, dual threat running backs. And if we are, they're sitting in San Francisco with one of the more legendary names in Denver football lore. Unfortunately, we couldn't draft him, but that's besides the point. But, I mean, you're absolutely right in that Sean Payton does like his receiving running backs, kind of like how we saw with Alvin Kamara down there in New Orleans towards the end of Payton's time. But I'm also looking at why not bring Latavius Murray back? When he was averaging 5.8 yards per carry during his short stint with the Broncos, and he already knows Sean Payton's system. So, I mean, would it be worth it to potentially go get him? Yes, we might be losing on the receiving side of things, but at least we know that he would actually be able to give us a running game to take a little bit more pressure off of Russell Wilson.
Well, Murray actually reached out to Sean Payton before the deal was done. So we know that they do have a relationship, and I wouldn't mind seeing Murray return. He did a great job for the task that he was given. I mean, we all saw how Melvin Gordon did, and he was on the Chiefs and got a ring, but
for doing absolutely nothing,
he rode that pine the best he could. So, I have no issue bringing back Murray. I think that might be the cheapest way to go, and he could also be our third running back if we want to go that route.
Yeah, because I know that, you know, it would be really nice to have a running back by committee, especially until 33 gets back. But I'm also sitting here thinking we need to have cap space. And I'm thinking there's probably four people that we could cut right away. Graham Glasgow could get cut. Ronald Darby could get cut. Marlon Mack could get cut. And shoot, even Chase Edmonds. You cut those four, that opens up over $30 million in cap space.
Don't forget about Brandon McManus.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, part of me wants to keep him just because, you know, Super Bowl 50 ties, but we are up against it here, so we're going to head to the halftime break here on the press box here at GoMileHigh.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know, from getting all this great experience working in college radio. It makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
Trying to make plans for this weekend?
I can't wait to see what he brings me.
Don't know what to do to kill time?
Pretty sure you just answered your own question.
Tune in every Wednesday. From 3 until 4.
What you talking about?
Sports. Must-see events and many more. Only on GoMileHigh.com.
Colorado sports fans, you're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torching yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Showing!
Colorado sports. Lifestyle.
Catch your breath.
Go Mile High.
Welcome back to the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com. We are going to be talking about tonight's game, the Colorado Avalanche hosting the LA Kings.
Yay. And it's so nice to say this with a positive tone because for a while there, not going to lie, I was starting to get worried about the Avs as we're starting to get closer and closer to this playoff cutoff and just how close we are, especially here in the Central. I understand that we still have like two or three games in hand, but we're very close to being completely out of the wild card by maybe 2 points, but we're only 5 points away from being at the top of the Central. So I think tonight's game against the Kings, which, to be fair, the Kings, they're doing a very solid job this season as well. I mean, they are, what, they're 37-20-8, so I believe that puts them second in the Pacific. I mean, the Kings, they are not going to be a pushover tonight at all. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a great back and forth between these two clubs. I hope that Georgiev has a great game. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Rantanen get, you know, another two, maybe another Hattie.
Absolutely. As the sun rises, we know Nate McKinnon is going to have at least an assist or a goal. I'll mark that down.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at the stats, the Kings and Avalanche are basically the same in every category. The only thing we need to worry about is staying out of the penalty box. We can't take stupid plays. We can't have Rantanen going off on refs when someone's just berating him. But mm-hmm. I'd like seeing that fire out of Rantanen, and I think he's going to get a goal as well.
Yeah, no. Mikko, he's absolutely great when he's on. I do understand why he did go after the refs, though, because that cross-check into the boards definitely should have been a 5-minute. But for him to really shake that off for just a couple moments, regather his composure, and then just absolutely light up San Jose was one of the most fantastic things I've ever seen. And, you know, we keep talking about how great our team is. We're still missing our captain.
Absolutely. We'll see a Sasquatch before we see Landy, I believe.
Oh, my.
I believe it's going to be the same as it was with Jamal Murray last year. We were all holding on hope that he was going to be in the playoffs. We were hearing next day, next game, and it never happened, which good for Jamal. He's 100% right. And I don't want to rush Landy back into it, but yes, he is the heart and soul of our team, and we are missing that. But the one plus that I have or see for the Avs making the playoffs is we have the second easiest strength of schedule remaining with 20 games left.
Yeah, no, and that's going to be absolutely massive for the Avs here, especially coming down the stretch, because right now we still have 20 games to go. And for us to have the 100% easiest schedule to go the rest of the way, I mean, we might have gotten some kind of gift from the hockey gods for having to deal with those four back-to-backs in that eight-game stretch or whatever we had. But, I mean, if we get to come out of the backside with the easiest schedule and with our team finally getting right, you know, Cale Makar, it appears that he's finally doing okay coming back from his concussion protocol. And, you know, again, still waiting on Landeskog to make his appearance, but I mean, that top line, even with Lehkonen, McKinnon, and Rantanen, Makar, I mean, Bowen Byram's showing back up now. And Georgiev, you know, he's had his down games, but I mean, when he's on that very top line, I wouldn't want to face anybody else.
You're right. I mean, Georgie needed that shutout last game. It was a nice cleanse it or a palate cleanser. Mm-hmm. The 6-0 against the Baby Sharks. But just looking at the remaining schedule, we have the Leafs one more time, the Stars one more time, LA two times, which includes tonight's game. We got the Wild, Oilers, and Pens one more time. But we also face the Blackhawks, the Sharks two more times, Ducks two more times, Coyotes. I don't even think they should be playing hockey because there's no ice in Arizona, is there? And then we have the Caps and the Red Wings one more time. So I think if we can get at least a point out of this game, and if not two, we're going to be sitting pretty, and we should not be worried about the wild card and possibly be winning the – could possibly win the Western Conference.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, to be sitting here 20 games out where – I would say maybe 20 games ago, we were very much worried if we were even going to make a wild card and really having that playoff lull. But like you said, you know, come out with at least a point tonight. And it gets easier those next couple games. Then we have Toronto. And then it almost feels like we catch a break until really from March 16th through March 27th. And then obviously the two big games that I'm looking at is that nice little homestand here at the end of March with Minnesota coming to town and then Dallas coming to town 3 days later. That could very well determine the entire Central Division right there.
Absolutely. And I think Rantanen has something to prove. I think he wants to be the number one goal scorer in Avalanche history. I think the franchise history is out of reach, but I think he can make a 52-53 goal push. He's at 42 right now with 20 games remaining, and I see it happening.
Yeah, no, I mean, at this point, when you're sitting at 42 and you have 20 games to go, you have to hit an absolute slump in order for you just to even consider not even, you know, hitting that 50 mark. But not only that, you know, again, I think we've mentioned it enough. You know, Arizona, they're not going to do anything to us. You know, Chicago might be a little bit of an issue, but, I mean, shoot, we have Arizona three times. We got San Jose twice more. We've got the Ducks twice more. It almost feels like the Pacific Division bottom feeders have to all come to Colorado, or we have to go there, and we just get to – and none of these games also – or on a back-to-back. The only back-to-back remaining that I am seeing is when we are at Arizona on the 26th, and then the next night that we are in Anaheim. And then we end the season on a back-to-back with a home and an away. But, you know, for only having two more back-to-backs, that's still 16 games where our team gets to be fully rested and ready to go. So there's really no doubt in my mind that we may even get, you know, 30 more points, we could still be looking at a 100-point season from the Avs, and that's a success in any league.
I mean, if we can get to 100 points with the team that we currently have, and maybe we get half the people that are on the injury report right now, just taking a look, Curtis McDermott is listed as out.
Yep.
Helm, who was a huge role in the Blue Series.
Yes.
If we can get him back, that'd be a boost of energy. Landy, obviously, if we could get him back.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Manson, still questionable with a lower body injury. Looks like EJ has been skating for the second time since suffering a broken ankle. So he's on his way back. And still no news on Frankie. That's one of my biggest concerns, is we do not have a solid number two backup for Georgie when we come to that back-to-back or playoff push.
Yeah, and that could be a little bit rough, but, you know, again, I trust in Georgiev with everything that I have as an Avalanche fan. I trust that, you know, he's going to be better than what we had with Kemper last season, and that's no offense to Kemper. He was an absolute stud for us, but Georgiev just has a little bit more talent, so I got to trust it. But just kind of looking at the betting line out there, because I know some of y'all out there that listen to the show, y'all like to know, the over-under tonight is 6 goals, and Colorado is a minus 165 favorite. Do we expect the Avs to come out and just lay out the Kings again, maybe a 4-2 type game, or what are we thinking?
I always like to bet the puck line, and what are they, minus 1.5 tonight?
Yep.
Take that. definitely take -1.5. They've hit, I believe, 5 out of 6 at home with the -1.5. I see the Avs doing a 5-3, 5-2. After that 6-0 shutout of the Sharks, I think they're going to come out swinging with at least 2 goals, if not 3, the first period.
Yeah, no, and honestly, I have no reason to doubt anything against that, because like you said, I think this game was absolutely the get right game for us. I think that the Sharks were exactly what the Avs needed, just to really build up their momentum again, and just with the players we have, they just felt a lot more comfortable. But again, I'm not going to sit here and count out the Kings either, because right now, I mean, it's kind of scary to think about. LA, they score 3.32 goals per game. They also allow exactly 3.32 goals per game. So it could very well go either way. Colorado, they average a little bit better, averaging just over 3 points per game for and allowing just over 2.5 against. So, I mean, this could very well be a 4-3 game as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if we take this game maybe closer to 4-2. But we're going to head into the fourth quarter here. We'll be right back here on the Press Box on GoMileHigh.com.
Hey, Billy, want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Well, you can't.
Aw.
Well, you see, Billy, when you throw away money on electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it. But now your parents are becoming energy efficient. They can save hundreds of dollars a year, and they can take you to the fair next year.
I want to go now.
I know you do.
Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
While catching a gnarly wave surfing the coast of Hawaii, trying to pick up that girl at the bar that's been staring at you all night long, getting into a deadly fist fight with a kangaroo, unexpected choking on the turkey sandwich you're eating.
There's a million places you'd never consider to text, so why do it while driving? Please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
While rapping on stage in front of a sold-out audience. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stopthetextstoptherex.org.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human is pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again. I gotta say though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human. A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
You and your family are connected by routine and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Arr, we be under attack. Mountain the long nines. There be more than flagship. Tenor down. What? No, not the Miami flagship. Me garbage. Me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. Many a folk don't know of it that when they throw their trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way to the ocean. So lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. And learn more about what you can do. Keep the ocean clean, healthy. KeepOceansClean.org. Brought to you by Keep Oceans Clean, Alliances, and the Ad Council.
I'm working 2 jobs, and my husband works too. My kids go to school with your kids. I'm 1 out of every 6 Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. I believe in this country, but it's hard to believe so many Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding families. Visit feedingamerica.org and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Check out our fan page while you listen.
Facebook.com/GoMileHigh.
Or just enter Go Mile High in the search bar.
Duh.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the fourth and final quarter here on your Thursday edition of the Press Box here on GoMileHigh.com. I am Ian, again, once again, joined by Andy. Andy, it's been a pleasure having you in today. Hopefully we see you a lot more often. Likewise. So, I mean, obviously for your first show, I think you're doing a great job. Well, the way I see it, don't drop any of the seven dirty words and you should be just fine. So, but anyways, kind of looking a little bit ahead to Sunday, and it's a huge day for men's college basketball. It is finally Selection Sunday, and I know we're actually going to get some of the first and second round games here in Denver, Colorado, but just kind of looking over it all, I just wanted to do something fun. And maybe we go through what many are projecting to be the bracket, and we can kind of pick who we think will do it. You know what? I like what you were bringing up earlier. We could do it by mascots.
Absolutely. Who's going to win that fight?
Yeah. So I'm going to start with this matchup. They currently have Alabama as a number one seed against the number 16 seed Northern Kentucky Norsemen. So you get Vikings versus an elephant. Who would you take?
Well, they're actually the Crimson Tide. When I think tide, I think of water.
Mm-hmm.
Norsemen are Vikings on ships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go crazy, and I'm going to take the 16 seed over the Tide.
Ooh, okay. Okay. I like that. All right, so in the 8-9 matchup here in this version, we have the Illinois Fighting Illini as your number 8 seed against the West Virginia Mountaineers as the 9 seed.
Well, this one is for my dad. I was going to go to the Illini, the Fighting Illini. I don't care what terrain. Mountaineers have no chance. Let's go Illini.
All right. I like it. All right. Next up in this bracket, I have a Horned Frog versus a Bulldog in TCU versus Drake in your 5-12 matchup. We don't really know, but they've adopted what's known as the Hyper Frog from Futurama, the weird frog. I guess they've adopted that as their unofficial mascot, but all we know is that it is a horned frog. We don't know if it's poisonous or not.
Well, to teach a dog not to bite, you put nails in a tennis ball, pin nails. Let's go TCU.
All right. And then next up, hey, guess what? We got more Bulldogs here. With Yale against the Cavaliers of Virginia in year 4-13.
You know, Cavaliers need hunting dogs. I don't think Bulldogs are hunting dogs, so let's go Cavaliers.
All right. Next up in our 6-11 matchup, we have the St. Mary's Gales, which I'm not 100% sure what those are, G-A-E-L-S, and they are playing the Bulldogs of Mississippi State. Yeah.
When I think of Gale, I think of a older lady, a nice, sweet lady. I'm going to go Gales.
Okay. I mean, that would honestly probably be my pick as well here. And then in the 3-14 matchup, we have the Kansas State Wildcats against the UC Irvine Anteaters. I mean, that's what I've been led to believe.
Ants are strong, and they eat ants. They get power from ants. Let's go Anteaters.
All right. And then to wrap out this bracket, I've got Aggies versus Trojans in your 7-10, which is projected to be Texas A&M versus USC.
Aggies are known as Cowboys. Trojans, there's Warriors. I'm going to go with the Trojans.
All right. And then in the 2-15 matchup, we have the Boilermakers of Purdue against the Raiders of Colgate. And I always laugh at this one because whenever I see Colgate, I always think of the toothpaste.
Well, Boilermakers are a drink when I think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders like to drink. So I'm going to go with the Colgate Raiders.
All right. That's a 15-2 upset. So. All right, let's move over to the Midwest. A fictional bird in a Jayhawk versus, I guess it could be one of two versions of a tiger.
Who's the tiger? We got Memphis here?
This is Southeast Missouri State.
Anything that flies in the air has domination over the ground, so I'm going to go Jayhawk.
All right. I like that. And then sticking with this whole Tigers theme, Missouri versus Memphis. Tiger versus Tiger. Who do you want?
Let's see here. I'm just going to go toss up just because I like the city of Memphis.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have a 5-12 matchup between the Hurricanes of Miami and the Rams of Virginia Commonwealth. All right. And then in the 4-13 matchup, I've got the Hoosiers against the Rockets in Indiana versus Toledo.
I'm not really sure what a Hoosier is.
From what I've been told, that's just what they named the citizens of Indiana, because I don't think you could call them Indians.
That's true. Still, I'm going to go Rockets.
All right. And then in the 6-11 matchup, we've got the Wildcats versus what could be a version, or it could be either Nittany Lions or Cowboys, because Kentucky is showing us a 6, and this is one of those 11 seed matchups early, and between Penn State and Oklahoma State.
And who's the locked in for sure?
Kentucky.
I'm gonna take Kentucky
Wildcats. Okay, there you go. And then in the 3-14 matchup, you've got Golden Eagles against Owls in Kennesaw State against Marquette.
I picked the Eagles or Jayhawk. Owls scare me, so let's go with the Owls.
Okay. And then to wrap up this part of the bracket here, I've got Spartans versus a Wolfpack in the 7-10, Michigan State, NC State.
Well, the only Wolfpack I know was led by Allen, so I'm going to go with the Wolfpack.
Okay. And then in the 2-15... Wildcat versus another version of Bulldogs, this time the UNC Asheville Bulldogs.
Well, I have a new puppy, a husky. She's not a bulldog, but she is scared of our cats, so I'm going to go with Wildcats.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We're going to move over to the third of the four brackets here. And we have a Bruin, which I'm pretty sure you know which team that is, against... No. Well, right idea, wrong sport. UCLA, and I'm not 100% sure what their mascot is, but they're playing against Texas A&M University Corpus Christi. TAMU-CC.
If we don't know the mascot's mystery, let's just take the Bruins.
All right. Next up in the 8-9, we have another Owl versus a Tiger. Florida Atlantic against Auburn.
I already took the Owls. Owls only get one, so we're going to go
first. All right. From here, we're going to move on to the 5-12 matchup. A Blue Devil versus a... I'm going to double check on this one. A Cougar. Yeah. Blue Devil and a Cougar.
Now, is a Blue Devil stronger just than a normal Devil?
I'm not 100% sure, because when I think Devils, I think red, but these ones are blue. All right.
So warm ice. Let's go.
All right. Next up, we have the Wolverines of Utah Valley going against the Musketeers of Xavier in your 4-13 matchup.
This pick is going to be for my brother. He loves the X-Men, so let's go Wolverines.
Oh, okay. There you go. No Dr. Xavier reference there, huh?
No.
All right. Moving on to the 6-11, I've got Aztecs and Panthers. Yes, Aztecs or Panthers?
I mean, the Aztecs were pretty strong. I'm going to go Aztecs.
All right. And then in our 3-14 matchup, I have a Paladin for your D&D nerds out there. Yes, the Paladins are in here. And they are taking on the Bulldogs of Gonzaga.
I'm sorry, Ian. I don't know what Paladin is. I'm going to go Bulldogs.
Okay, fair enough. All right, and then in our 7-10 matchup, we have a Wildcat against a Friar.
Well,
the priestly type. All right. And then in our last matchup, we have a Longhorn, which I think that gives away the team, against a Catamount.
Oh, Vermont versus Texas.
Yes. That is your 2-15 matchup if it started today.
The Catamounts did make a run years ago. Let's go Catamount.
All right. And then in our last bracket before we move on here, we have a Cougar. Once again, taking a number one seed against either the Tigers or the Bison. So an all-animal bracket so far.
I'm going to go crazy because the Buffaloes didn't get in. Let's go Bison.
Okay, I like it. And then next up, we've got the Terrapins against the Razorbacks in your 8-9.
I have a turtle, so we're going to go Maryland Terrapins.
All right. And then to the 5-12 matchup, you've got a Cyclone, which that's kind of hard to beat, against another Golden Eagle.
We're going to go Cyclone.
All right. And then from there, we go to the 4-13 matchup, a Husky versus another Gale.
This is for my baby girl, Layla. We're going Husky.
All right. I like it. From there, we are going to go to our 6-11 matchup, where it is a Blue Jay versus either a Scarlet Knight or an Aggie.
I like blue, and I have a best friend named Jay, so we're going to go Blue Jay.
I like your logic behind it. We have a Volunteer versus a Raging Cajun.
I do like Louisiana, but good deeds go to those who volunteer.
There you go. And then in the last 7-10 matchup, we've got a Hawkeye versus a Bronco. Okay. And then the last matchup before we move on, we've got a Bobcat against a Bear.
Bobcat versus Bear, huh?
Baylor versus Montana State.
I used to like the show Bear Grylls, so let's go Bear.
All right. So let's go back to the top here. And if I remember right, you picked the Norsemen over the Crimson Tide. So let's ride that wave. Norseman, Illini.
I gotta go Illini, sorry.
Okay, all right. Hey, honestly, that's how I would go in that matchup too. Next up, I believe you had Cavaliers versus Horned Frogs.
We gotta go Horned Frogs.
Okay. From here, we had Gales versus Anteaters. Okay, and then the last one was the Raiders of Colgate against the Trojans of USC.
I can only pick the Raiders once because of my hatred for Oakland, so we're going to go Raiders.
Okay, sounds good. From here, we have a Jayhawk versus a Tiger.
We're going to go Jayhawk.
Okay, Hurricane Rocket. I love it. All right. We have a Wildcat versus a Golden Eagle.
We're going to just go Cats.
Okay. And then a Spartan versus a... Uh-oh. Where did it go? There it is. A Spartan versus a Wildcat.
We're going Spartan.
Okay. All right. From here, we are going to move on to the Bison versus a Turtle. Or a Terrapin.
Terrapin, all
way. All right. A Cyclone versus a Husky.
Layla's got to go Husky.
Okay. A Blue Jay or a Volunteer?
Oh, that's a tough one. Because I do like Blue and I do like Jay. We're going to go Volunteer.
Okay. And then we have a Bronco and a Bear.
We're going to go Broncos.
Okay. And then we have a Bruin and a Owl, I believe, is what you picked in this one. Between Owl and Tiger. No, you picked Tiger. So, yeah, Bruin or Tiger?
Bruins.
Okay. Blue Devil Musketeer, I believe, is what you picked here.
Still warm ice. We're going to go Blue Devil.
Okay. Yep, you... Or no, 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 you picked the Wolverines. My apologies. Okay, all right. From here, we have the Aztecs against the Bulldogs.
Aztecs.
Okay. And then I believe we went Wildcat Catamount.
We're going to go Wildcat.
All right. So we're going to go backwards from here. We got a Wildcat versus an Aztec. Okay. From here, we have a Bruin versus a Blue Devil. All right. We have a turtle in the Terrapin against a Husky.
Oh, both my pets, huh?
Yep.
Oh, gotta go Baby Layla Husky.
All right. And then I believe we have a Blue Jay against a Bronco.
Sorry, Jay, we gotta go Broncos.
All right. All right. And then let's go to the top half here. We had a Rocket and a Jayhawk. Okay, and then here I believe we had a Wildcat and a Spartan.
Still like the Spartans.
Okay, and then I know we had the Illini against the Horned Frog.
We're going to go Illini.
Okay, and then correct me if I'm wrong, did you pick the Anteaters over the... Oh, yeah, yeah, no, yeah, 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 you definitely picked the... Yep, so an Anteater against a Trojan.
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm just going to have to go with the Trojans.
All right, sticking to it. We have a Trojan versus the Illini.
Sorry, Trojans, Illini.
Okay. We have a Jayhawk against a... Let me make sure that I'm reading this all right.
I thought we had the Wolverine.
No. No, that was a different bracket.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. No. You're good. Yeah, no. Or did you have the Rockets beating the Jayhawk? You picked the Jayhawk.
I had the Rockets beating the Jayhawk.
Oh, okay, cool. So in that case, we have a Rocket versus a Spartan. All right, so we have Illinois and Toledo making the final four in the top half of your bracket. The bottom half, we have a Blue Devil and a Wildcat. We're getting there. We are getting there. But yeah, no, we have a Blue Devil and a... pretty sure you said a Aztec. Okay, and then, yeah, your favorite, the Husky, against the Bronco.
Oh, this is going to be a tough one. I'm sorry, Denver, we're going to go Layla Husky.
All right, so when it comes down to your final four, you have the Toledo Rockets.
Okay, I like it.
Playing against the Duke Blue Devils in the first game. Okay. All right. And in your second matchup, we've got the Illini against Layla's Huskies.
Sorry, Dad. We're going to go Huskies. Huskies are going to take it all.
All right. So you have UConn beating Duke?
Lock it in.
All right. Let's do it. But yeah, no, that was a fun segment.
That was great.
Yeah. No, this was a fun show. So... We definitely went over on time, but honestly, I think we're fine either way.
I'd like to give a special shout out to the TJ Spartans. Their first home game is tomorrow, 4:00 against the Heritage Eagles.
Hey, there you go. Sparty hard, guys. But anyways, thanks for tuning in to the press box here on GoMileHigh.com. We appreciate you all tuning in. Have a good night.